This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
And you just mind your P's and Q's, Buster, and remember who you're dealing with.
Only on Project Nerd.
99999!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast. It's episode 182. Iggy here, along with Adam, Bob, and Tyler. Welcome to another exciting week of podcast goodies. What's up, guys?
You didn't call him Robert. First
I was going to say, thank
what
God.
What the heck?
Dang it, I forgot.
We ain't going back to repeat it. Just go with it.
Do we really have goodies?
I mean, you guys saw my alerts, Funko.
I mean, that's true.
I've got goodies.
I got all kinds of goodies over here.
Nope.
A lot of junk food in my kitchen. Have you guys seen they have the most stuffing ever Oreos, which is like a quadruple stuffed Oreo?
That's too much.
You would think it's too much.
It is too much.
The only thing too much about it is the amount of packages I have already bought of it. That's the only about too much.
You have a problem.
The only Oreos I've had recently was at the last tailgate. A friend of mine did Oreo cookies with vodka shots mixed in with the cream.
Did somebody smear it all over your face?
I wish.
Anyways, plenty of goodies, as we said there. But really what's going on, a lot's going on this week. We've got new content. We've got a new number one for DC movies globally. We'll put globally.
Yeah, asterisk.
We've got new information on Dune and The Mandalorian, which I'm sure Tyler will be excited to hand it to you, and a lot more. So first, let's start with what are you giving me a look for? I don't know. It was a bad transition. It was not good. So anyways, Bob will probably have a lot to say on this one. A big thing we want to talk about is we're trying to figure out who is the best picture favorite at the Oscars. Did Black Panther just become that with winning Best Ensemble Cast at the SAG Awards?
Short answer, no.
Short answer, yeah.
Short answer, no. Bob, you're wrong.
I really think things are going to change a little bit. I said, you know, I was talking to Iggy the other night after all that happened, and you got to look at it. This is the actors are the largest block, and it received the best cast. It was up against everything but Roma. It was not nominated for best cast. But I think this is the opportunity for the Academy to quiet down that Oscar so white uproar that came up a couple years ago. It's a touchstone film. It is a movie that hit a lot of people. It's very popular. What, 700 million domestically? I think this is an opportunity for the Academy to say, okay, we understand it. And if you didn't see the awards, Chadwick Boseman gave an awesome speech.
Wakanda-worthy is what they were saying.
Yeah. I feel like you make a few assumptions that are, number one, that the Academy does understand it. I don't think they do. I think they pay lip service to it. Two, I think they do want to quiet it. I don't think they want to quiet it bad enough to give out the Best Picture Award.
I think Roma will win Best Foreign Film, and obviously it's going to win Best Director. I mean, they opened the door for that one wide open, but I just don't think they're going to give Best Foreign Film and Best Picture to the same movie.
That's fair. I still think Roma is probably the favorite for Best Picture. I would not be surprised if it doesn't win. But I would say at best, Black Panther jumped the ratings from like a 40-1 to like a 20-1. I would 100% pick Roma, Green Book, The Favorite, Black Klansman, even A Star Is Born before I would pick Black Panther. I think the only two movies that Black Panther will 100% beat are Bohemian Rhapsody and Vice, which are easily the two weakest of the Best Picture category. I mean, nominees. I don't think either of them was a great film.
But I think this is, I think, honestly, I think this is going to be a year very similar to the year when Brokeback Mountain lost to Crash. You know, everybody, you know, Crash won because of the social relevant or just the social tone of the film. And I really think it's going to happen with Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But at the same time, like, I love comic book movies. I'm on the Nerdcast. I loved Black Panther. But Crash and
Brokeback
are infinitely better movies than Black Panther. Like, just better films. Like, I love Black Panther. It's a good movie. It's not a great movie. It's not.
Crash is a better movie than Black Panther?
Yeah, I was going to say, Tyler, are you nuts?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Brokeback Mountain was boring as hell. I get that it was like, oh, we, you know, everything was at that time, but the movie was just boring. Like, it wasn't. And this is, of the four of us here that likes romantic movies the most, boring. Boring. Yeah.
I think they're both better films than Black Panther. I think Black Panther is really good, and I think Black Panther is one of the better of the Marvel movies. I don't think it's the best Marvel movie, and I definitely don't think that you could say that it's better than Roma or The Favorite or even Green Book or even Black Klansman. Hell, I don't know about Star is Born, but it's probably better than Vice and Bohemian Rhapsody.
But when does the Academy ever really vote for the best film?
They don't, but they definitely will vote for films that are quote unquote films. Like, I still think we're a long ways away from, outside of like The Dark Knight, I think we're a long ways away from the Academy as a whole recognizing, you know, sci-fi, fantasy. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, outside of the Lifetime Achievement Award that was The Return of the King, like, they're not going to. They gave Return of the King to the entire trilogy because it was groundbreaking and risk-taking, but Black Panther's just not there. Here's the thing, I love that movie, and it was a really good movie. It is not going to win Best Picture.
Well, the question, I mean, Bob, if you're saying that the socially conscious tone is what's going to push Black Panther over, how is that not going to do it for Black Klansman, which is actually has a socially conscious tone as opposed to just being...
Or Green Book.
A black cast.
You know, and I really thought about that one too. You know, I was almost to the point of thinking, could Spike Lee sneak into Best Director? I don't know. You know, it's, I agree, Black Klansman is a more relevant film for the topic, but I think just because, one, how big Black Panther was, the enormous cast it has. I mean, it has every, you know, young and old, newcomers, Oscar winners, everything. I think it will draw more people to it.
I have some really important questions right here. One, why are you holding... Oh, I thought it was a fork. I thought you had a fork, Bob.
It looks like it, but it's a back scratcher.
Okay. That was the really important question. I get the arguments. I get what Tyler's saying. I love Black Panther. It is one of my favorite Marvel movies. I don't see it as a Best Picture winner. I don't see it as a Best Picture type movie of the year. It's not a movie I walked out of saying, holy cow, that was the best movie of the year. It was great, and again, I think what it did, the timing of it, February, Black History Month, what it did, you know, for a country, even fictional in Africa, like everything about it, great, I understand that. But I also, as you know, we've brought up, there's two other movies that could possibly, if the Oscars were going to get political about this or social movement about this, there's two other movies that they could play that card with. And as much as we think Green Book's going to keep falling off because of the director controversy, it keeps hanging around and it keeps considered for stuff. And it's a really good movie. It is actually a really good movie. Too.
I think everyone's also discounting, like, it's obviously not specifically about Black America, but Roma is a very
topical,
very topical, very socially conscious movie too. Like, maybe even more so than any of those other three. Like, it's telling a more true-to-life story of, I mean, obviously Black Klansman's a true story, but true in the way that a Spike Lee movie is a true story. Like, I don't, that's not denigrating. It's just like, it's very stylized. It does a lot of crazy things, but I 100% believe in my heart that the Academy as a whole believes that they've done their part by simply nominating Black Panther, which I think was shocking. And I feel like getting nominated made the entire Academy like, all right, cool. We're in the clear now. Let's go back to doing exactly what we've always done.
For weeks now, have agreed with Tyler, and I agree with him here again. What is 2019 bringing?
So here's my question. So if it was shocking for it to get nominated, what do you call the win this weekend for the cast?
Well, look at the cast. I mean, look how big it is. Look how many people are involved, and look how every single role is significant. You mentioned Roma wasn't even nominated. It doesn't make Roma less of a movie, but you could plug in a bunch of different people in those supporting roles and still get the same movie.
Well,
if that makes sense.
Cast doesn't equate to great film, because if you look at Vice, Sam Rockwell kills it. Everybody in that movie, Christian Bale kills it. The acting in that movie is absolutely phenomenal. It's not very good.
You're right.
It's good. It's not great by any means. And it's the lowest review ratings of all of the movies nominated this year.
Yeah. And Vice wasn't nominated for the SAG Award either.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take that cast was going to win no matter. I mean, just like not even taking the main characters, just like side characters. You've got Angela Bassett. You've got Sterling K. Brown. You've got Winston Duke. Forest Whitaker was in it, for God's sakes. Like, that's even before we get into like the main characters. Like, that cast is amazing. You put them in literally any other movie, and I think maybe it's the Academy Award winner. I just don't think they're going to give it to a comic book movie. And also, like, it's not as if what's the word I want to use? The SAG Awards is a good indicator, but it's not the end all be all. Like, what was the last SAG Award winner to also win Best Picture?
I know it wasn't last year.
Yeah, last year, Three Billboards was the SAG Award. It didn't get it. The year before that, it was Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
The year, Spotlight. Spotlight won both. Spotlight was the last. And that's Tom. I mean,
that's about five or six years.
That's Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams. I mean, that was a Stanley Tucci, John Slattery. That was incredible. Out of the last nine, so of the 2010s, it's three out of nine times.
2010s. Real quick, because we do need to move along on this.
Inglourious Bastards won the SAG Award for Best Cast.
That cast is so amazing.
It is so amazing, but it's not ever. It didn't win Best Picture. It wasn't even close.
Here's two things, and not taking away from Ledger's performance as the Joker, and not taking away from Black Panther as what it is as a movie. Again, saying it's a great movie. These two things, I think, got nominated because of what was happening. I don't want to say around it, but what is happening with it. Ledger, I don't think he gets the nominee if he's not dead, right? Like, it sucks to say that, but it's probably true. Black Panther, considering what you've brought up, the Oscars so white, all that type of stuff, and how much it's getting praised and the message people are saying is behind it, I think it gets nominated. What is good here is we went from a step from Best Supporting Actor to now a Best Picture. To where does that take us next? So I think I agree with Bob and Adam Tyler and Adam in saying this is not going to be the Best Picture winner, but I also feel like this is a huge step in getting us there eventually.
I have a feeling there's going to be a bet coming up here sometime in the next week or two.
Hell, I'll make a bet right now. I will bet the field against Black Panther and feel super confident in it.
I'm still waiting.
I'll give you like 10-1 odds on that one.
I'm still waiting for my donuts for that first year.
Fair. Fun fact.
You still got those donuts, you don't want those donuts, Bob.
I probably don't.
I can tell you that.
So, fun fact, they have only been giving away the SAG Award for Best Cast for 23 years. The first time was in 1995. One time and one time only, the Best Cast Award winner was not even nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Birdcage.
The Birdcage. Every other one was at least nominated for the Best.
Such another good movie there.
Yeah.
All right. So real quick, Black Panther is back in theaters for the month of February. They are free screenings, and Disney is donating to the United Negro College Fund throughout. So if you go check it out, money goes to a good place. You get to see it again. And coincidentally, it's back in theaters for the Oscar push.
I got my tickets. They're free. Hey.
Not surprised at all.
Watch it.
I didn't mean that as anything other than we say every week, comment, you know, Bob's the movie guy. Bob's the movie guy. So speaking of movies, speaking of comic book movies, speaking of superheroes, Aquaman now is the highest grossing DC movie globally in the history of DC movies. Adam has some, is discounting it some.
Well, I mean, it's not even that long ago. I mean, Iggy, so I said as we were initially talking about this, that it was only a few years ago where Dark Knight was doing all of its amazing things and making all of the monies. And China wasn't as big as a market as it is now. Iggy countered with, oh, yeah, but Gone with the Wind isn't the number one anymore. And I get that. And yes, it is not. And that movie's 80 years old, not 8 years old. And so there's a difference here. And it just, I don't know. It, like, it's such a game changer to have something compared from then to now. And just that, with that difference of the China market, that it makes it tough because it's not the best DC movie.
Yeah. Well, and to, on Adam's point, like bringing in the China market, it is the highest grossing DC movie of all time worldwide. It's still sixth domestically. And the gap between it and number one is huge. Like it'll maybe make its way into fifth or fourth place. It will not catch Wonder Woman, Dark Knight Rises, or The Dark Knight domestically. It has to make another $217 million to catch The Dark Knight domestically. And The Dark Knight, remember, came out 10 years ago. China makes a big...
It does. I'm not saying it wasn't. I was yawning, so it took me a second to respond. But I think it doesn't matter. It's the numbers. It still is. It is what it is, I guess, is the way to put it. Yeah, you can make my point with the Gone with the Wind one, which is the argument that I think anybody goes to when you bring up box office numbers, because you can always make the argument there, you know, that, you know, you have the changes, you know, inflation, new countries taking it, and everything like that. There's always
an argument to say, taking into the fact that DC doesn't make great movies anymore. Here, look, put it this way. You say inflation, so like take inflation out of it. Just raw dollars without inflation included. Domestically, Tim Burton's 1989 Batman has a higher domestic gross than Justice League.
Well, I mean, that's Justice League.
I'm just saying.
How good was that Batman, though? Oh, my God.
Right?
It was so good. But I'm just saying, like, in raw, non-adjusted dollars, Batman starring Michael Keaton in 1989 out-earned, like, arguably to date, DC's biggest movie ever.
I don't feel like that takes away from my argument, then.
Because I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying that, like, these numbers at some point just become, I don't know.
Did we all see it in theaters, Adam? I don't feel like you saw it.
Aquaman?
Yeah. Was I wrong?
I saw Aquaman,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We all saw it then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was worth checking out in theaters. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm not mad about it at all. I don't like it being number one on DC's movies. Like, it's nowhere near as good as Wonder Woman.
No.
Yeah, like, the movie's nowhere near as good.
Not number one in quality, let's just say.
Well, and like you said, like, there are movies that make a lot of movie money overseas that aren't great if they're big enough spectacles, if they have enough things that appeal to other places. Because, I mean, like I said, domestically, it's still over $100 million behind Wonder Woman. I mean, domestically, it's still behind Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad made more money so far in America than Aquaman. Now, Aquaman will probably catch it. It's only like $9 million behind, but still. Like, I feel like worldwide numbers have become pretty skewed. I think domestic is still your best gauge of, like, I mean,
yeah,
like,
the worldwide numbers drive your sequels, but
yeah, well, and the worldwide numbers are what they're going after now. Like, the number of, like, decisions you see made in movies that are not, like, they're not super overt, but they're clearly like, oh, this got changed because we want this to play in China, or that got cut because we want this to play in China, or that villain got renamed because we want this to play in China.
So important to remember, the spectacles that get the global dollars do give us the sequels. And at first, we think that's great because we all wanted a Pacific Rim 2. Then Pacific Rim 2 happened. Just saying. Not always a good thing. But sticking with DC movies, you do have the first look. Well, they were saying it's the first look of the Birds of Prey. They call it a teaser trailer in most cases. And all it is Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn dancing around for a few shots. Like, we've already seen her as Harley Quinn.
There were some other people in it.
I'm not mad at that even a little bit, though.
I don't feel like it was a teaser. I feel like it should have just been some behind stuff.
And that actually reminds me of something I was going to bring up, but I don't see it on the list. So we're talking about trailers. I just want to throw it out there. Because
Tyler wants to move on. So.
No. I'm just saying, like, same topic. But, like, so we have the little teaser, Birds of Prey. We just recently got a new Spider-Man trailer. We just recently got a new Shazam trailer. We just recently got a new extended Captain Marvel trailer. What the hell's what's going to be the big, if not just one, multiple? Like, what's going to be the big movie trailer this weekend?
Well, for the Super Bowl.
They said they're not going
to. You're not allowed to say a Super Bowl. The big game.
You just said it. Super Bowl.
I was correcting you and not being able to say Super Bowl. You can't
say
Super
Bowl. Should we title the episode not allowed to say Super Bowl?
It's super against the rules to say Super Bowl. The NFL will come after you if you say the world's Super Bowl. You have to say the big game.
Okay, the big game. We're not editing any of that out, by the way.
No, of course not.
Well, they can't do a Star Wars.
I still think, it's a little too early for Star Wars, but we've gotten all the ones. I mean, other than like a real in-game trailer is the only thing I can think.
I don't think you really get much anymore. I think over the past few years, the quote unquote big game hasn't quite had the weight on some of those. I think we had a couple last year. I don't even remember, to be honest. But it's the same thing. We just shared it on the website this month, the new Stella Artois ad with the dude and Carrie Bradshaw. So Big Lebowski and Sex and the City kind of coming together to change up the ordinary, as they said it. And they called it their Super Bowl commercial. I'm sorry, the big game commercial. And aired it on their website like a week early. So yeah. I feel like, and I even made a comment in that post while posting it, and I think I typed out the word Super Bowl, is that Adam's giving me a look. I'm going to say it as many times as possible. I even put it on there. You have a better shot of your commercial going more viral and getting bigger press by pushing it out on the internet and, you know, hoping for sites to pick it up as opposed to airing it on TV during a certain game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got some big ones last Super Bowl. I mean, last Super Bowl, they had the Solo trailer.
He said it twice. I'm sorry.
last year for the big game, we had a Solo one. We had a Fallout one. We had an Infinity War one. And we had the huge, super, like, surprise Cloverfield Paradox trailer for a movie that then came out immediately after the game.
Like, that just dropped right then. Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
So, I mean, obviously there's less than there used to be, but we still get 4, 5, 6. And there was other, like, there was a Red Sparrow one. There was a Jurassic Park 2, Jurassic World, followed whatever the hell that was called, got one. Like, there was a lot. There was a Skyscraper one. There was a Rock one. Remember that one? Like,
yeah.
There was a lot of them. Now, a lot of them weren't like the first time you saw them. They were new TV spots, not necessarily like the world premiere trailer. Because world premiere trailer, they usually will say for other like primetime events, but we're going to get some movie trailers. The question is, are we going to get new spots for movies for which we already have the trailers, or are we going to get to see something actually like new and exciting? I would not be surprised if there is an Endgame trailer, a new Endgame trailer.
Possibly.
I think you get teaser at best on that again, because you got to save that trailer for Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah, but how far are we still from Captain Marvel?
Can we say Captain Marvel on this podcast?
Two months.
Okay. Say.
Okay, just make sure.
Because Endgame's in April. Like, it's time to, like, start the engine.
Everybody's seeing that movie. They don't need to start the
engine. I think
they're going since last year.
Yeah, they're purposely trying not to give us hardly, you know, anything from it. I don't know. I believe
that we don't believe they need to start the engine, but I mean, marketing and people who work in marketing and movie are not exactly, I don't know. They're not subtle folk. They don't believe in nuance. It's advertise the shit out of this. Let's do
it. I think Adam's going to choke over there.
They are not sharp instruments.
It did just pass my mind, though. Possibly we haven't had an Aladdin trailer yet.
Yeah, those.
We got the teaser with the like desert part, but not an actual trailer.
And the Super Bowl is on. What is it on this year? I don't even give a shit.
Yes. He said it. Are we allowed to say CBS? I'm just curious.
Who knows? I'm pretty sure we can say Super Bowl. It's not a big deal.
I definitely know the one preview is that Fast and the Furious spinoff.
There's what Fast and the Furious spinoff.
Hobbs yeah. and what's Hobbs and then
I keep calling it Calvin and Hobbs.
Yeah. Calvin and Hobbs.
Let's just go with Calvin.
It's Statham's character. But you guys, hold on. Before we dismiss this, first of all, you have to see every Fast and Furious movie because they're Fast and Furious movies. Statham's character had a fight. He put earmuffs on the baby in an airplane with the door open and fought while he was throwing around the baby carrier. Like, you have to see the movies. But second of all, I'm pretty sure I only saw a really small version of it, the poster. I meant to look further, but I forgot about it until you just reminded me. Pretty sure that's Idris Elba standing in the background.
Not yes, 100%. He is the villain.
Okay, see, I'm there. I'm in. You got my money. You don't even have to
see it. And at half-mast.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just trying to think what else is coming. Maybe Pet Sematary. Because Paramount did a bunch of them last year. Paramount. Because The Quiet Place, that was the world premiere of The Quiet Place trailer, was Super Bowl. Maybe Pet Sematary from Paramount or Black Men in Black. They're making the Men in Black movie. I don't know. I feel like we've already seen quite a few Alita and Dark Angel ones. I mean, Dark Phoenix ones. Maybe a Hellboy trailer?
Could be an It.
Oh, an It sequel trailer? That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another John Wick trailer. Although we just got the teaser for that one. That wasn't even really a teaser. That was a full-on trailer.
Or the Joker.
Which one?
That's the one I was thinking about. The Joaquin Phoenix Joker one. We might get a trailer for that one.
Well, we need to be specific.
Yeah. Toy Story 4 and Frozen 2 are both coming out this year.
You got a lot of stuff still. It's just, remember, there's so many freaking movies coming out this year that we can get tons of trailers every week. A lot happening.
But right. One thing I did see is that Warner Brothers is not going to put out a preview. So any movie that was a Warner Brothers film,
Has Warner Brothers ever put out? I feel like Warner Brothers really usually doesn't put out a Super Bowl trailer.
Is Calvin and Hobbes their movie?
No, that's Universal.
I'm just anyway. Well,
Skyscraper.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw. Thank you. Anyways, all right. So moving on. Let's just stick with movies right now. We did get teased this past week before our last podcast, but after we recorded of the new Ghostbusters movie. So Little Reitman, it's Jason Reitman, is taking on directing. Are we calling it Ghostbusters 3? Are we calling it Ghostbusters 4? Like, what is this Ghostbusters? Where does this fit in the hierarchy?
Oh, dude, I bet they just abandon the names and give it a subtitle. Ghostbusters Back Again. I don't know.
A new beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
I hope not that, but they'll ditch the numbers for sure.
Ghostbusters, the Super Bowl edition. That's what they'll call it. Anyways, are we excited for the new Ghostbusters movie, even though we know nothing about it?
Nope, I'm not.
Wow, okay. Why not?
I'm starting to get really sequeled out anymore, and Ghostbusters was not one that I was really wanting to see.
And other than nostalgia, 2 is not terribly good.
Right.
The first one's fantastic. The first one is such a perfect movie. Like, why would you mess with that?
Right. And the second one is a Ghostbusters movie, and it's got its moments. But if I were to objectively look at it and I showed them to people who had never seen either of the two movies right now, you'd be like, man, the first one was way better.
Oh, yeah. You were like the buzzing of flies to Vigo.
Okay, so
they made that toaster dance though. That was pretty cool.
So mixed excitement on it.
Like, some things just don't need to be rebooted.
I feel like we just poo-pooed on Iggy's Ghostbusters excitement.
I wasn't that excited for it. Like, I saw the teaser and was kind of like, yeah, like, this is cool. I was excited that they got Jason Reitman to do it. Like, that was cool that he's going to be involved. Other than that, I mean, we got nothing, and we lost Bob. So
here's the thing. I feel like there should be a rule about certain, like, for instance, like Robert Zemeckis has always said, no one will ever touch Back to the Future while he's alive. Like, it'll never happen, like, over his dead body. Like, once he dies, who knows? But while he is alive, no one will ever touch that. I feel like there should be a posthumous award for, like, if Harold Ramis is no longer alive to work on the project, you're not allowed to touch it. Like, if Harold Ramis isn't writing or directing it, it's off limits. So you can't touch Groundhog Day. You can't touch Ghostbusters. You can't touch any of those movies that he vacations off limits. Caddyshack, stay away from it. Just Stripes, no dice. Like, those are not, those are sacrosanct because he's dead now and he can't write for them.
Well, I wonder, Iggy, is so my, the reason I'm not excited is because I don't think there needs to be more. I would enjoy there being more, I guess, but it's so far away and we know so little about it other than, hey, I want to do this. It's like, okay. But there are lots of people who want to do lots of things and it never happens. So I'll get excited if we get closer, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. Bob's back, though. I don't. He looks disgruntled. I'm not sure.
Is he back?
He might be frozen. No, he's just sitting really still. This is when we need video for our listeners. Okay. Anyway, so Ghostbusters, moving on. More immediate. We did just drop this on the Now Streaming podcast, which you can catch on the same RSS feed. So if you are checking us out via iTunes, Google, any of those other avenues, Now Streaming, just head back to the last podcast that is on that feed. What's coming to February? So two big things, which I think is interesting. One, we got the trailer for it already. The Umbrella Academy, the Dark Horse comic being adapted for a Netflix show. And the trailer looks fantastic. And then Velvet Buzzsaw with Jake Gyllenhaal dropping the day this airs, right? Yeah. If I'm on my days right. Yep. Yeah. The day this airs, which actually looks extremely horrifying from the trailer. So a couple big drops there. I don't know. Are you guys? I know Adam's going to watch Velvet
Jake Buzzsaw. Gyllenhaal does Creepy really, really well. I don't know if you guys. Doesn't he? I don't know if you guys have seen Enemy. He's fantastic in Enemy. So remake and very, very good. And then Nightcrawler, of course, like his intensity in Nightcrawler is like just thinking about it. It wigs me out. Like that's how creepy he is in that movie. And in a totally believable way. And so I'm for sure on board with what he's got going on. And Umbrella Academy, I actually don't know anything about it. So
I'm real excited.
You know, I watch it and I'm like, oh, that looks just cool, but it's something else I have to watch on Netflix, which is just like, okay, I have to quit my job.
It's the dysfunctional X-Men. No, it's
or just get Bob's job.
Right? Where he could just watch Netflix in the office. It's, I don't know, the Umbrella Academy, it's Eisner Award winning, which I it's hard to say when you say award winning this, that, but I feel like a lot of stuff that wins Eisner's is incredible.
The Eisner's pretty legit.
Yeah, I feel like there's not been a lot of stuff on there where I'd say it doesn't deserve it. I assume it's the first, I can't remember the subtitle for the first arc that came out, which it seems like this is based off of. That is the one I have read, and it was super fun. And it's a really clever concept and all. And I just think if you want a quick elevator pitch, just think dysfunctional X-Men.
That's fair.
I mean, it's my elevator pitch. If you want to get more involved in it, there's obviously, you know, conspiracy, family, adopted.
More dysfunctional than Runaway or more than the Runaways or more dysfunctional than Legion?
Runaway, you know, when my first response to you, Runaways isn't dysfunctional, but actually, that's pretty fucked up. Their parents are pretty messed up. So anyways, but Legion is, and they've done a phenomenal job with the show, which by the way, season 2 is on Hulu this upcoming month as well, February. The show is so good. Legion can get pretty trippy and out there, and the show's taking it even further than what I remember of any of the comic book stuff. I don't know. It's fun. If you like all that stuff, I definitely say check this out. It's good fun. Comic stuff. There's going to be plenty of action. There'll be some violence and there'll be plenty of comedy and there's going to be a lot of like sibling rivalry type stuff, but in a very superpower type way.
And I've wanted to see Ellen Page in something again for a while.
I couldn't pick up if there was sarcasm there.
I really like, who doesn't fucking like Ellen Page?
I do too, but you never know with Tyler and the way he looked at the camera. Just wasn't sure how I was reading that. So I was just making sure.
God, you just know the worst. Everybody, you know what? I have a gift for you, Iggy. I'd never say I never got you anything. I have a free, because I know how much you love them. I know how much you love them. I have a free segue for you. All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So speaking of Jake Gyllenhaal, Velvet Buzzsaw, Adam brought up his excellent movie, Enemy, based on the novel The Double, of which another movie was made almost exactly the same time, but with a more comedic take on it with Jesse Eisenberg. Neither here nor there. I love the movie Enemy. And one of the reasons I love the movie Enemy is, do you know who directed Enemy?
Who?
Denis Villeneuve.
And what is he directing now?
Oh my God, he's making Dune.
What is the big Dune news this week, Tyler?
We actually got a couple things this week. The newest one that just came out today is we now have a Duke Leto Atreides, and it is Oscar Isaac, which is super, super excited. And I think since the last time we talked, they have also cast the Reverend Mother Mohima, and it's going to be Charlotte Rampling, which is also awesome. So at this point, we've got, obviously, Denis Villeneuve. We've got Greg Fraser as doing the cinematography. We have Rebecca Ferguson as Lady Jessica, Dave Bautista as Beast Raban, Stellan Skarsgård or Baron Harkonnen. Charlotte Rampling is the Reverend Mother, Oscar Isaac as Duke Leto, and Timothy Chalamet as Paul Muad'Dib Atreides, the Quetzalcoatl,
Who's at half mass now, Adam?
God, I'm so excited. I've been trying my best.
Whole mass the whole time.
I've been trying my best to keep my hype to a good, like, low level as much as possible. Like, I've been trying to, but every announcement just gives.
I'm just going to screenshot the Facebook group conversation we had today, and everybody will know bullshit. You're keeping your excitement level managed here.
God, dude, the hype train is
super excited for this.
Every time a new one comes out, I'm like, Dominic, I'm like, dude, excited. I'm going to dial it back. I'm fine. And then another announcement comes out, and I'm just like, God damn.
Just steer into it. Thing. Just give in.
I don't want to.
Let the spice flow, Tyler.
Listen, do you know how excited I got? And this is like, what, 18 years ago. So I would have been, God, how old was I 18 years ago? 17? Was I 17, 18 years? God damn it, I'm old.
I don't know. He picked up the Blade Runner franchise and did God, a was, phenomenal job.
I know, he's so good.
With the sequel.
And like, Arrival and everything. But I got, I was a 17-year-old, do you have any idea how fucking pumped I was for Sci-Fi making a 3-part, 6-hour miniseries of Dune? I was so excited.
Look back with your current knowledge and think about the statement you just said, and you'll see where you went wrong. You can see it. It's right there. It's pretty plain.
Back then, sci-fi kind of spent money on stuff. I mean, we came to find out later they spent all of like $20,000 on it. And the worst part is, they bought the rights to that right around the same time as they bought the rights to like Battlestar Galactica and stuff like that, and made that miniseries like 3 years later. And it was so good. And Dune was so not. Although Children of Dune, the miniseries they did like 3 years, wasn't nearly as bad. It wasn't great. Because they put Dune Messiah and Children of Dune Old Ones, whatever. I don't know. We haven't even gotten some of the best casting. Like, we got some of the big casting. We don't have a Duncan Idaho yet. We don't have a Gurney Halleck yet. We don't have a Thufir Hallett yet. We don't have a Peter DeVries yet. We don't have. I still believe that the Padishah Emperor should 100%. Be Kyle MacLachlan, because that would be too good. We don't have a Princess Irulan. We don't have a Stilgar. We don't have a Chani. Like, there's so many more things to cast. I'm so excited.
So, Tyler, have they set a date when they're setting up for release?
I think I don't think there is anything on that front yet. I know that they have pretty much stated that his goal is to make 2 movies. And I mean, if they're just now announcing casting, like, they're probably, I mean, they just finished the first draft of the script back in May. I mean, I honestly don't know. Like, the latest draft of the screenplay back in like July was half of the book. It was like half of the first novel. So the fact that they're just now getting this casting news out means that production is probably still a ways off. I would say probably at best 2 years until we see it.
Yeah, so it'll probably 30-minute answer.
I've thought a lot about this. Like,
watch this be the next Don Quixote. Like,
listen, you shut your fucking mouth.
But they'll probably show previews at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl at the
listen
2020.
I would lay odds that it comes out
Super Bowl.
Hey, listen, there's a really good chance it'll come out before the next Wonder Woman movie fucking does.
At this rate,
yeah, because that got pushed back, right?
Jesus,
yeah.
Why can't DC do anything right?
A year and a half of reshoots, I guess, to push Wonder Woman back there. Let's just keep going with movies. Let's keep going with movies and mention what we are all super excited about, more so than Dune even, is that Funko Pop movie that's happening. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. First it was the Lego movie. Then it was the Emoji movie. now you get the Funko Pop movie. I mean,
is there going to be a major licensing issue on that?
No, they got the license rights.
Oh, geez.
To everything there's a Funko of?
They said this will probably be the first big screen movie that has Marvel and DC characters together because they have the rights to what they have license of, just like Lego does on their side.
Wow.
So I don't know what it's a lot to play with.
That's a big loophole. Why didn't they just make Ready Player One a Lego movie and they could have just done whatever? Right. They
would have gotten the Millennium Falcon in there, that's for sure. It's crazy. I don't know.
I feel like that can't be right.
I'm sure there's some kind of limitation on it, but at the same time, when you're whatever company giving rights to a company to make your toys that are selling like crazy, selling more than any other toy right now, you're not thinking, hey, I bet you they're just going to make a Funko Pop movie and that's going to be something that works out. Probably not in the forefront of anybody's mind when they're signing contracts.
Oh, wait, never mind. This is going to be terrible.
You don't say a movie based on a toy that's not.
Well, I mean, that obviously. Good. Hey, the Lego movie was fantastic. And the second, and the Lego Batman movie was really good. And the reviews for the early Lego movie 2, his second one, is getting good. Well, I mean.
Right, but that's one toy.
Well, it's Warner Brothers.
But I think Lego did a fantastic job of not focusing on those licensed characters.
Right.
They played a role in the movie, but it wasn't focused around them. Can Funko Pop pull that off?
I don't know. It's
just Warner like Brothers. Emoji Movie.
Although it is Warner Brothers Animation, which is usually a pretty safe bet, but...
The Funko Pop movie.
The movie will reportedly center around Wonder Woman, the Care Bears, Hellboy, Deadpool, Hello Kitty, Harley Quinn, Darth Vader, and My Little Pony. Fucking kill me. It literally reads...
That's like 27 different characters. How do you center around that? It's probably in what is like an 80-minute movie. Like, you don't have enough time to introduce all of those characters.
Not only that, but like also Hellboy is like a... What Hellboy and Deadpool mixed in with those... I don't know. Also,
wait a second. There's a Hellboy Pop vinyl?
Yeah, there's like a few.
I'm really excited about the My Little Pony Care Bear Deadpool interaction, though.
That could be scary.
It's a kids movie, remember? It's a kids movie before you get too excited about it.
I didn't even know they made a Care Bears Funko.
I didn't know that either.
Because they don't even make Care Bears anymore.
Like, no, they make.
They make Care Bears still.
There's like
Care Bears.
Iggy has one.
You can buy. Actually, I do have one at this place. It's not in my room.
There's like 5 or 6 Hellboy, just the Hellboy character Funko, because there's one.
Like the movie ones or comic ones?
I mean, I think it's kind of a cross between. There's one where he's got the horns with like the fiery crown. There's one with him just in the duster and the gun. There's one with him.
You better stop thinking he's going to spend like 70.
I've already got the Sandlot ones and the Nightmare Before Christmas ones.
They did a San Diego Comic-Con did one last year, where he's in like a tux and he's like has a tentacle wrapped around him. Let me see if I can find that
one. I made a promise. So the only Funko Pops, I mean, I own like a couple of randoms, but the only series I own is the Saga, the Image comic series, which I own every single one, even every special edition of that one.
This was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive right here.
But, oh my gosh.
But then there's the one, my favorite one is, I mean, the classic one with him and like, the gun and everything, and it's pretty
I
good.
Have
but this one right here is my favorite.
I have two things of Hellboy art, and it's regular price too.
Gosh. Wow.
I have two Hellboy prints on my wall right now, like, and I want I don't know how to feel about the movie that's coming up because I want more Del Toro Hellboy.
Yeah, by the way, I think that'll be shown at the Super Bowl too.
The what?
The Hellboy preview.
No, but at what game?
At the Super game.
Oh, look.
The Super Bowl game. Oh, okay.
There's a cool.
Oh, that's cool.
One. There's a cool. Look at all these. There's a lot of them.
I'm sure all of these people that are listening to us through our audio only podcast.
Listen.
Can you see this, people?
Fantastic.
Okay. So look. So there's. But look, there are a lot of Funko Pops. There's a Lobster Johnson. There's a Rasputin. There's a Liz Sherman, Abe Sapien, Hellboy. There are a lot of Hellboy Pop vinyls, as it turns out. So if you weren't aware of that.
I'm going to get at least one Hellboy.
Important public service announcement.
The one Hellboy that I'm going to get with, because here on February 10th, The Notorious B.I.G. with The Crown comes out, and I'm definitely getting that pop vinyl. Thank you very much.
Oh, and there are, in fact, a shit ton of Care Bear pop vinyls, too.
How many Care Bears are there, by the way? Like, how many
Care Bears? Well, I don't know. Are we just counting the Care Bears? Are we counting the Care Bears and the Care Bear cousins? Also, there's a new Care Bear television show that just came out that has more Care Bears. That
See, there's even before. A new cartoon, Adam. You said they're not even making Care Bears.
Yeah, they've got a spaceship now. They fly a spaceship.
What?
What the shit?
Are you guys powered by love.
No, there's a new... let me see. I just was reading about it earlier.
Hold on, guys. To all our listeners, wait 1 second. Tyler will pull them up on screen share to show you guys.
I'm just telling you guys, it's 2019, and now the Care Bears have a flying spaceship. The animation's also a little bit weird, but that's a thing that happens now.
Gosh, I love that this is a thing.
It's 100% a thing.
It is.
How'd they learn to fly a spaceship?
Listen, they're the goddamn Care Bears. The power of love and belief, all right?
I'm with Tyler on this one. Don't doubt what the Care Bears can do. Okay. Wow. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about video games. I know we're really excited. I'm really excited. I can't buy it yet because I got a lot of work to do first. But Kingdom Hearts 3 dropped this week. And I think anybody between the ages of maybe 28 to 38 has collectively lost their shit, except for Adam, who has a not so happy look on his face. Wow. Wow. I think this podcast is over right now.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I never got into Kingdom Hearts. I played one. I played...
So this is three episodes now in 2019, and everything I get super excited about, you guys are just shitting all over. I feel like you guys got a separate chat going on. You're like, okay, put this on the notes for today's episode. Everybody just act like whatever. Like, Tyler's not even paying attention. Right? He's like, I don't give a shit about your Kingdom Hearts. Like, yeah, I'm moving on.
It's all right. It just never clicked for me. I don't know what to tell you, man. I can't help it.
What about Resident Evil? You got a new Resident Evil?
Resident Evil 2 is what you're getting. And it's yeah, I mean, those are fun games. I would play that game, yeah. I don't know when I'm going to buy it, but I would play it. I just bought, see, the problem is this weekend I saw that Sony had a sale going on, and so I was like, oh, I'll just peruse this and see what I can find. And they were selling FIFA 17, 18, and 19 for $35 or something like that. And I was like,
that's all three together or each?
All three together.
Why do you need all three?
Because in 17, they started a like story-driven mode called The Journey, where you took over a single player and you kind of played his career from going up from kid.
Yeah, I think each AA sport game has some kind of version of that.
So they started that now, right? And so that was the year it started, and they did a 3-year journey with this one player. Alex Hunter is his name, and so they sold all three games so you could play through the full journey.
I can't play a damn soccer game on video. I just get the little characters running back and forth and that's it. I can't.
It's so great because when you score the goal and you're in your living room by yourself, you can pull your t-shirt over your head and slide down on your knee.
Slide on the knees.
And nobody can judge you because you're just here.
I'll be judging you silently, Iggy, don't
yeah.
you?
I was going to say, except for everybody else sitting on your couch. But you know,
one thing I did see on Kingdom Hearts is I guess the company that made it put out a message today telling people not to spoil any.
Yeah, because some of us have to get work done before we can get that far into it. Thank you very much.
That company is Square Enix, Bob. Square Enix.
I like Square Enix. I like JRPGs most of the time, as long as it's not, you know, that one Final Fantasy that had a 40-hour tutorial. And listen, Hope was just, and Snow were the worst. They're just the worst. But I like the idea of jumping through cool, like fighting in Steamboat Willie Land and fighting in Little Mermaid Land and fighting in Toy Story Land. That shit's cool. The storyline of Kingdom Hearts, I gave up on a long fucking time ago. Because first of all,
the
best background. Oh, they do it. There's a video in 3 that gives you a full background.
I bet it's still fucking
is what they say. I'm sure. I'm sure you got
to have to have played 1.5 to 2.5 plus all the weird little side games they made over the years to even have a clue what the hell is going on. And it's a goddamn ordeal.
Anyways.
And I'm usually into games that have super complicated backstories.
So Adam, at least Adam will be excited for this. We're getting a Chucky TV series has gotten the green light for Sci-Fi. Ooh. Chucky as in the little creepy ass doll.
That'll be the right amount of creepy and campy, and I'm on board with that. Sci-Fi can find that balance. I think that's the right place for that TV show to live.
Are you going to be able to handle it? You couldn't handle the little Chucky running around.
That was a real Chucky.
That thing was fucking
around.
That thing. It was a person.
I would be sitting at the booth, and I would just see him scamper across the hallway. Like a little, like in between two booths, like four booths down, just see him dart across and like, mm-mm. And then like 10 minutes later, he'd be going the other direction, a few rows closer. It's like, oh no, 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 no. This is not okay.
That's it's very true. But yeah, sci-fi show. So that should be interesting. We'll see. And really quickly too. So the big probably of the funny, odd, I don't know what to call this type of news. So they dropped, well, obviously the Ted Bundy tapes are out now on Netflix, which has been a big thing. And they talk considerably about it, about Ted Bundy being charming, attractive, those types of things, because that's what he was.
Oh, it's real good.
That was his MO, yeah.
Yeah, so extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile. They dropped at least the teaser for it, with Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy. And of course, the internet has gone crazy over Zac Efron being Ted Bundy. And the studio said, hold on, guys, let's not get too turned on by Ted Bundy here. And it's become this big deal. So people are like, that's disgusting. This is ridiculous. They're making Ted Bundy to be like this super attractive, whatever, likable
killer. Yeah.
Right? Like that's the point. That's how do you convince that many people to do your bidding if you're not a likable person at some mm-hmm. level, right? Like, I don't know. So oddly, the internet is upset with itself, as usual, over something it probably shouldn't.
Oh, but it's led us to some very awesome things as well. I saw if you're going to be oddly attracted to Ted Bundy, hold your horses, because here's Joseph Stalin, and it's a young picture of Joseph Stalin, and he was an attractive young man, and it said the meme says he's way hotter, and he killed way more people. So it's very good. And so I did you guys see the Ted Bundy tapes? Have you watched it yet?
I have not, but it is in my list.
I have practically zero desire to watch that.
Oh, it's quite good. So the director of the Ted Bundy tapes also is directing Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. And I thought that was really interesting. Very, very good. And then the title of the movie is actually from the sentencing when Ted Bundy was sentenced in Florida. That's what the judge said. And they've got the whole thing in the Ted Bundy tapes.
Adam, our resident fan of the creepy shit, has given us all the details.
It's so good. You guys should watch it. Watch all of it. And Zac Efron, I think, is the perfect person to play that role.
I think he looks the part, but
because he's dreamy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He is dreamy. I'm okay with that.
I'm not saying, is that why he's perfect? Because he's also dreamy.
He's perfect. And well, I think for as much as I disliked Zac Efron for a long time, I think he's a really good actor.
He is. Paperboy, right? And then Neighbors wasn't a really good movie in terms of plot, but
he did a very good job.
Him and little Dave Franco together were fantastic.
Right.
And he's convinced me with both comedy and even, mm-hmm. you know, drama. So I'm on board the Zac Efron train.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be.
And he's dreamy.
He's no Idris Elba, but, you know, I'll take it. Anyways, I don't know. The only reality, but you know, the show on Netflix is it's a documentary. It's not really a reality show, right? So we're running out of time here, so let's move on. One last thing I wanted to bounce on is Criterion did announce their April titles, which I'm sure Bob is excited for as well. But interesting enough, you got a Police Story 2 pack. That's right, Jackie Chan is coming to the Criterion collection.
Yeah. I can't afford to buy Criterion movies, Ziggy. So I'm
half off Barnes and Noble, July and November every year.
Well, yeah, but then I just get twice as many movies. I still spend as much. It just gets me more, and I can't afford to do that,
Iggy. I'm not seeing your problem here. Anyways, all right. We are tight on time, so let's wrap this up with some final thoughts. Bob, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier. This weekend, or this next week, Black Panther is being played at AMC Theaters. Yes, I'm plugging AMC Theaters. And you can go to the website. It is posted on Project Nerd. And the tickets are free, which is really cool. So even if you don't own the movie already at home, which has been out on home video for about 6 months, it's good to go to the theater, eat some movie theater popcorn, and watch this year's Best Picture winner.
By the way,
Nerd is not affiliated with AMC movies. Or
hold on, no, I was about to go the opposite way with that. I was about to say, although you don't need the A list to see your free Black Panther screening, we at the Project Nerd do definitely recommend it. Just in case you're listening, AMC. All right, Adam, what you got for us?
Play some video games, people. The Kingdom Hearts 3 is huge. All of my friends play it. They all love it. I am the weird person here. I fully understand that. I'm okay with that. I've accepted it. I'm on a show called The Nerdcast. I'm used to being the weird person in the room. I don't know if I told you this. My wife's boss mentioned that he was reading a book and wanted to know what we were reading. He's like, because Laura and him started talking about it. And so she mentioned that had recently gone through the Red Rising trilogy. And he was like, oh, I hadn't read that. So the next time he came into my office, he mentioned in passing that I should give him some more book titles. And I turned into Tyler and listed off like 47 titles at a human being just standing there without any ability to like write them down or anything like that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to stop now because I made this real weird. And and we both laughed about it and it was funny, and I'm friends with him. And so it was okay. But I realized, God, yeah, the Nerdcast is where I should be. That's my place.
Seriously though, let's get serious now. What name it? talk dirty to me. Talk dirty to me.
This counts as Tyler's final thought, by the way.
give me some of that. Give me some of that good stuff.
Well, it was full sci-fi. I mean, it's all stuff we've talked about. So you know, he was like, I really, really like sci-fi, and so it was like, okay, well, you've read Martian, Armada, you should read those. He hadn't read Ready Player One, so I was like, you would enjoy that. And then we went old school. I was like, Dune, Children of Dune. Dune Messiah.
Other way around.
Well, I mean, I had them in the right order. Let's just pretend that.
Okay.
In my story, I did.
Guys, this is captivating material right now.
Some Asimov. Some Clark.
Yeah.
Some Gibson.
Didn't get Gibson, but did go
with Bradbury. Heinlein. Okay.
All right. So.
Don't play that music over us, Iggy. Let us finish our thank you.
Playing you off the stage, guys. Playing you off the stage here. So the Project Nerd, the Nerdcast, has character movie posters. I want to figure out a way to make people vote on which one's the best here. Adam is pretty convinced he'll win. So we do have the Adam poster, which is Big Trouble in Little China. We do have the Bob poster, The Godfather, or as we call the Bob Father. Tyler is Brazil, and I am a Dark City, or Iggy City. So... I don't know. I'm going to put all four posters up on this week's post. So if you're catching us on iTunes or Google or Spotify, any of those places, come see us over at projectnerd.com. Scroll down the post. You can catch all four of the character posters. Let us know in the comments which one is your favorite. And I don't know. Which one's y'all's favorites, guys? Adam's playing himself. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you guys were going to say that. I didn't know.
Also, if you're listening to this episode today, it's probably Friday, and congratulations on surviving the polar vortex because it is fucking cold outside.
Dude, in Chicago into Michigan, 4 minutes. You can be outside for 4 minutes before might need medical attention.
Oh, one of my best friends lives in Chicago and has not stopped fucking bitching about it all day. Like, I've gotten so many texts of screenshots of his weather app on his phone.
Gallo has been like, I so wish I could call out of work. And Matt and I were like, well, don't worry. Any crime scene will immediately freeze and the evidence will be... You're good. Take the night off. Okay, so speaking of taking the night off, we're out. For episode 182 of the Nerdcast. Till next week.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of the Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.